We'll kickstart this rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the last week of November 2006, this is the Rain Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. This week, we return to the year 1992 to bring you two commentaries that could have been written today. The first is entitled, Getting Over the Fear of Talking to Adults. It was one of a series of columns that young Sam Garrett, AA0CR, wrote and voiced for Rain when he was a teenager. What's he doing today, you ask? We'll tell you after this short edition of his YouthLink column, produced in the spring of 1992.
Getting Over the Fear of Talking to Adults. YouthLink by Sammy Garrett, AA0CR. Well, kids, amateur radio is a hobby made up of mostly adults. Now, this is not to say that kids cannot take a very active role in our hobby, or even be some of the leaders in it. But it does mean that when we young hams get on the air, 9 times out of 10, we're probably going to work adults. One of the big reasons I think some young hams don't get on the air very much is because they are afraid of or are self-conscious about talking to adults. Many kids are used to having adults talk at them rather than to them. It seems that most young people don't feel comfortable carrying on long conversations with adults. The typical scenario I hear both in person and on the air is that adults talk down to kids. Instead of talking to young hams about their latest antenna project, some adults tend to ramble on about what they did when they were our age. Sometimes that's fine, but most of the time, we kids would like them to consider what our interests might be. We can talk about a lot of things. Besides, we can't learn about the hobby if we can't talk about the things that are happening in it now. To the young hams listening, please don't give up on radio just yet. Even though some adults might seem uncomfortable talking to you, they are interested in bringing more young people into the hobby. Most adults are willing to help young hams in any way they can. So remember, be patient with adults and try to help them understand that you are a person too, not just a kid. If you find yourself a little shy or are unsure of yourself when talking to adults, just remember that they are there to help you. If you make a mistake, don't worry. You won't be laughed at or criticized by them. They are interested in guiding you because they know you are the future of amateur radio. And adults, please remember to be patient with us as we learn. Editorial note. This edition of YouthLink appears in the WestLink Report, number 612, October 31st, 1991. Reporting for Rain from St. Louis, Sammy Garrett, AA0CR.
Sam Garrett, AA0CR, graduated from American University several years back. Now armed with a PhD, Sam is married and working in the Library of Congress doing research for various bigwig politicians in Washington, D.C. Needless to say, his folks are indeed proud of what their only child has accomplished, and so are we. Next up, a commentary entitled, Why Hams Aren't Talking to Each Other Anymore. Though it was written almost 15 years ago, its message is just as valid now as it was then.
Hello, this is Mark, WB9QZB, with my monthly editorial, Bites from QZB. My editorial this month is entitled, Why Aren't Ham Radio Operators Talking with Each Other Anymore? I've been a ham for 17 years. I was interested in ham radio for about 5 years prior to getting my license. I listened to shortwave broadcasts and hams for 9 years prior to getting my license. During that time, while some things haven't changed in ham radio, one thing has, and it's very disturbing to me, and it should be to you also. What's changed is the content of QSOs. I remember in the 70s, for example, when 2-meter FM repeaters were new, hams would actually carry on extended conversations and discuss things that were both related to ham radio and unrelated to ham radio. These conversations range the entire spectrum of topics discussed. Today, in most major metropolitan areas, the entire 2-meter, 1.25-meter and 70-centimeter repeater bands are completely allocated with repeaters. But, if you scan across these bands, you'll find many of these repeaters are lightly used, if used at all. In fact, if you listen to the major wide area repeaters, you might find them used at morning and evening drive time, but lightly used other times of the day. In fact, it's quite common for local hams on a repeater to ignore a CQ from an out-of-town ham. In the Chicago area, I've even heard out-of-town hams call for directions. Although the repeater had been busy and is still being monitored, no one responds. I usually answer their calls and give them the required directions. A short while afterward, you'll hear the same local hams continue their previous discussion, obviously ignoring the out-of-town ham. I miss the long and extended roundtables that used to take place on mini repeaters. These roundtables sometimes extended well into the early morning hours. Such long discussions have on most repeaters disappeared. I've been wondering why for some time now. In fact, as I write this editorial in the late evening, the Chicago area 2-meter repeaters are devoid of any QSOs. But if I point my 2-meter beam towards Wisconsin, I can hear interesting conversations on 2 Wisconsin repeaters. Could this partially be an urban problem? The first explanation might be that until repeaters came along, local hams never had the opportunity to talk with each other on a regular basis, and they initially had a lot to talk about. Or perhaps the novelty of reliable local communications just wore off after a while. Another explanation is that many hams got tired of listening to the endless chatter on local repeaters and just turned down the volume. Many new rigs offer a DTMF touchtone decode feature so you can quietly monitor your favorite frequency until someone types your DTMF access code to open your rig speaker. While DXing and contesting can be fun at times, they certainly don't lead to interesting rag-chooser roundtables. A 5-second contact does little to share information and ideas. And then, of course, there is the typical boring QSO, in which the only thing exchanged is call sign, name, rig, antenna, and signal strength. Many hams seem to be lost when one tries to direct the conversation to subjects beyond these boring topics. In fact, many hams don't want to discuss anything that might be construed as the least bit controversial. Apparently, they're afraid they might offend someone. That is certainly a timid way to lead life. I believe that what we need on ham radio is more interesting and invigorating conversations on all sorts of topics. In fact, a few heated discussions might draw more into the fray and let everyone learn something from someone else. While ham radio is based on technology, it is comprised of people who use the technology to communicate. Skilled communication is what makes ham radio operators different than any other hobby. Ham radio's communication potential makes it possible to develop new technologies or perform public service activities as a result of using our communication abilities to organize, analyze, and experiment. If you're disturbed by what you hear, or perhaps don't hear on your local repeater or favorite HF net, then it's time to do something. We all have a responsibility to make our QSOs as interesting as possible. The new no-code license is bringing thousands of new hams into the amateur service. It's incumbent on all of us to demonstrate good operating practice and to welcome the new hams into our interesting QSOs. If you do nothing, ham radio will continue to become boring and lifeless, which is not the reason most of us got our license in the first place. Thanks for listening, and see you next month. 73, this is Mark, WB9QZB, for RAIN.
There are those who say there is nothing more permanent than change. On the other hand, some things never change that ought to. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2006, RAIN, all rights reserved. For Hap Holly's founder-producer, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from all of us with RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.